About the time you hit a pothole hard and lose a hubcap, you might wonder what kind of process exists to consider the future needs we have for our transportation system. Well, sure, there are planning efforts going on all the time, and there are periodic efforts to stand a little further back and look at the really big picture. That kind of effort completed recently with the final report of the Governor's Transportation Vision Panel in Oregon, appointed by Governor Kate Brown. The report out of that panel is called One Oregon, A Vision for Oregon's Transportation System. It included quite a few members. We'll hear about those in a moment. Right now, let's meet one of the co-chairs. Tammy Bainey co-chaired with Greg Cantor. She is a Deschutes County Commissioner and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Tammy, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
So, you know, anybody would have to believe that there is already some kind of long-range planning going on, but that's probably within the Transportation Department?
Correct. And I also chair the Transportation Commission for the state of Oregon, appointed by Governor Kitzhaber and then reappointed by Governor Brown. And so, yes, we have the Oregon Transportation Plan, and that is the document. It's a 20-year look. It's a combination of all of the modal plans, so it would have bike ped, it's going to have freight, it's going to have your highway plan. So all of those plans comprise the Oregon Transportation Plan. This is a vision that's even further than that document.
Are we talking maybe a 50-year plan instead?
So this is a 30-year plan. We're trying to figure out what would the state of Oregon look like in the next 30 years, and essentially how do we assess the condition and challenges that face our transportation modes today, and then what actions can be taken also in the short run, and so that we can identify ways that we can take advantage of funding opportunities and ways to bring the state of Oregon together to push forward in some of those investments. And then, of course, developing a vision for what our transportation system would look like in the next 30 years.
So how many people on the panel, and wow, what did you do?
So there were a number of people on the panels. There were five different panels, and they were working together. There was roadways and bridges, transportation, finance, aviation, marine, and freight rail, innovation and seismic, bike, ped, transit, and passenger rail. And so each got together and worked. We had everyone from economic development folks. We had elected leaders. We had legislators. And their work was really to talk about what Oregon could look like, not necessarily what are the barriers today and so that we can think about what no might look like, but what does yes look like? And how do we assess the needs of the state? And then through that, there was a very robust region panels that and discussions taking that information out into communities and getting out into the state and all corners of the state and asking, what are your needs? And what would a 30-year vision look like for you? And then what are some things that we can achieve in the short run in the next couple of sessions?
Tammy, was the formation of the panel in any way a response to the failure of the legislature to come up with a comprehensive transportation bill?
Great question, Jeff. I should have started there. And actually, this was work that was started by Governor Kitzhaber. And so it really was the Governor Brown, deciding that there was value in this work and that she also wanted to pick up where that had left off and added some new members and kept a lot of the same members that had already been seated. And really, it isn't necessarily about the funding package. It is what do we need in the state of Oregon for a really strong economy and infrastructure we know is the backbone of the vitality of our economy in the state. So how do we look forward and also address our immediate needs?
Tammy Bainey's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She chairs the Oregon Transportation Commission and recently co-chaired the Governor's Transportation Vision Panel, which prepared a report called One Oregon, A Vision for Oregon's Transportation System, as you heard, 30 years off in the future. Join us on the exchange with questions, maybe some stories about transportation issues you might have. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So the report does list the good things about Oregon and transportation, and then the first but starts with population. What is population growth doing to our transportation system?
Well, we know that that's adding to the use of our system. And some would say that people are not driving as much, but quite frankly, with more people, it's actually we're not keeping pace with the needs of our state. And so first and foremost, I think something that was really telling for me is that the document itself is titled One Oregon, and that actually came from Commissioner Brad Winters in Lake County. And to think about a Lake County commissioner talking about One Oregon and talking in Lake County about the importance of addressing congestion in the Portland area, that tells me that we really do have a community that's statewide that wants to address these issues. So we have a growing population. We have an increase in freight traffic. We know that we are very trade dependent in our state. We also have an aging population. So how do we make sure that there are different opportunities, not just in a vehicle? How do we make sure that there's transit and access to health and other appointments? Of course, greenhouse gas emissions. Congestion definitely factors in. And how do we reduce our footprint while we're also addressing these other needs?
All right, so population certainly happening in lots of places. There's a second issue here brought up that's not unique to Oregon, but certainly a major concern in Oregon, and that's the landscape and the seismic activity. How big a concern is that?
It's a great concern. I've read one too many research articles about the fact of it's not if, it's when. The good thing is that Oregon is at the forefront of pre-planning, and from a seismic perspective, the investments that we are looking to make are also investments that will address our seismic resiliency and response. So we're trying to look at it in terms of identifying our lifelines. How do we get the state of Oregon back up online as soon as possible, not only from a response to health safety, but how do we also from an economy and keeping our economy going? In the document, you will see that there's a fair amount of interest in Highway 97. Highway 97 will certainly address the need for response, but also that will become our freight corridor to be able to make sure that goods and services are able to continue.
Freight corridor in the instance of Interstate 5, for example, being out of action because of lost bridges and things?
Absolutely, yes. And so we do know that we are behind in terms of taking care of our bridges. We've only been able to repair about a quarter of our bridges that we identified in 2003. And so we are about $1.8 billion behind in the needed investment to secure some of our bridges, and then unstable slopes, of course, you know, culverts and landslides. And that may sound daunting, but what I can tell you is that we talk about it as a state, not only from the Office of Emergency Management, the Transportation Department. We talk about it often because we want to make sure that our investments, that we are retrofitting bridges to the appropriate seismic levels, and that we're not making investments that in 10 years or 20 or, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen in our lifetime, but whatever investments we're making today also stand the chance to assist us when the Cascadia occurs.
So the $1.8 billion you mentioned, it sounded like it was attached just to bridges. I'm wondering what the figure is for getting all of Oregon's roads in a modicum of decent repair.
Oh, gosh. Well, we are looking at, there was a number, and it's in the document of maintenance and preservation, which is the number one priority out of the One Oregon document. Right now, we need to preserve and maintain what we currently have. And so $324 million, rather, of new revenue invested each year could adequately maintain our state for bridges and pavement. So we are behind. We have a relatively archaic funding mechanism. If we want people less dependent on vehicles, but we are dependent on the gas tax, we have an issue. So how do we be looking, what types of new opportunities might be in front of us that we could look at in terms of financing these improvements and investments that are necessary?
Did the panel reach some conclusions about what revenue sources might be?
So they looked at some fairly traditional revenue sources. I wouldn't say that any of these are too brand new, but of course the fuel tax, registration fees, title fees, not very folks sometimes love them, sometimes they don't. Increasing the gas tax, I think, is something that, quite frankly, we can say that we don't need to do, but I will tell you that we are too far behind to maintain the system that we have, and any hope of being able to enhance the system would be without. But at the same time, we have to be looking at new technologies, and we need to be looking at new ways of funding as the CAFE standards increase and as vehicles become more fuel efficient. The The MyOrgo, the VMT, the Vehicle Miles Traveled program, helps to cross that in terms of now you're paying for your miles traveled, not necessarily how much fuel you are using. And as a participant in that program, I live on the east side of the mountains. I travel a lot. I have been quite pleased.
So you're living with kind of some of the things you've helped implement.
Absolutely. And I think some worry we would be tracked because it's a mechanism in your vehicle and I'm being tracked. Mm-hmm. Well, you have a cell phone. We're being tracked. And, you know, the days are gone where you go in anywhere and cameras are everywhere. But I chose the part of the program that does not have the GPS. And so if I travel out of state, yes, I will be, those miles will be part of the program. But it made me feel better to be able to alleviate some of those concerns if I participate and can answer them personally versus just in theory.
Tammy Bainey is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's a Deschutes County Commissioner, the chair of the Oregon Transportation Commission, and the co-chair of the recent Governor's Transportation Vision Panel, which produced a report called One Oregon, A Vision for Oregon's Transportation System, casting things 30 years down the road instead of the usual 20 years of planning cycles in transportation. You can join us on the Exchange. You might have some stories about transportation issues you have with the system as it currently exists, things you'd like to see in the future, or just some questions for Tammy. 800-838-3760 by phone. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Email from John in Ashland here, Tammy. He writes, given the many financial priorities in our state, why is it that Oregon spends so much money on over-designed transportation projects that are utterly gratuitous and unnecessary, such as the new Phoenix Interchange and the upcoming I-5 extension along Crater Lake Highway, especially while some basic transportation needs, such as chronic potholes and vital roadways, go unfixed?
I think it's a great question. So different pots of money. So we just had this exact issue in the city of Bend. And as a county commissioner, there's always the challenge of, can you not fix these potholes? And it's challenging. In terms of statewide funds and also federal funds that come into projects, that's where you're going to see the more large-scale projects that are being developed. And that can be a mixture of state funding, federal funding. But at the same time, I hear the concern about the local road system. And so the gas tax is split between the state and cities and counties. And it sounds as though the challenge is I'm driving down the road and my local roads are not up to the investment that I would like to see. And for some, I know in some of our local roads here, new alignments, I mean, some folks have had popped tires and those sorts of things. Those funds are within your city or your county, so that it's not the same funding that's going to go into one of those large-scale projects that also will go to your local streets. It's out of the same pot in terms of the gas tax revenue, but the challenge for a city to be able to maintain their own system is exactly the needs that came through with the document, that we just are not keeping up with those local roads and opportunity to be able to keep the potholes and the infrastructure to where the local system meets the needs of those that are traveling.
I do hear that a fair amount. It's like, why did they build this when they haven't taken care of that? But you know, different pots of money is often the answer for that. In a section of One Oregon, A Vision for Oregon's Transportation System, on bottlenecks, there's a reference to demand management. Does that mean convincing people not to drive on certain roads at certain times?
No, it actually means how do we keep the system demand management, essentially, where you're not, how would I explain this, where you're not, it wouldn't be, it's the right traveling, the right amount of impact on the system at the time versus and also managing other alternatives. So if there's ways that you can use rail, if there's ways that you can use, you know, other parts of the system and not necessarily not using the system at all.
Mm-hmm. All right. So here again, it's, you know, trying to make the point clear that if fewer people are on this road for whatever reason, whether they're going to work at a different time or taking a different route or something, they're not on the one that's getting bottlenecked.
Exactly. So it's trying to work to improve the capacity.
All right, another question here from Ann and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Tammy Bainey.
Thank you. Well, having lived in Oregon for 50 years, it seems like to me that the Oregon Department of Transportation has been the main reason why we have so much urban sprawl. I know that the land use planning has tried to curtail that, but it still seems to me that the Oregon Department of Transportation is mainly focused on people in cars, and here we have a population where 70% of adults are overweight or obese, and so having our cities so that people can bicycle and walk and use public transportation seems to me that it would be very much an advantage to our state. And I'd like to hear your response to that. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
I love that question because that is talking about community. And we have a significant role as the Transportation Commission and the Department of Transportation to help address the needs of community. And we do partner very closely and work very closely with the Department of Land Conservation. But essentially what she's talking about is the opportunity for us not to have, well, in my particular area, if you have to drive 30 miles to get to work, some people will not be able to work. And if we don't have opportunities for other options, either rideshare or transit or other modes, it is separating communities and creating islands, essentially. And I think that the health of our communities is based on the built environment. So how do we look at investments that, and it gets back a little bit to your demand management question, how do we get people, if it's freight, how do we use other options? If it's the traveling public, the individual, how do we make sure that they have their needs met with a system that complements what they need to be doing? So whether that's bike paths, whether that's walking trails, if you're mobility challenged, how do we make sure that you have what you need? You need to be in a healthy community. And I think that's something that we are just starting to understand. Oregon has the first in the nation voluntary memorandum of understanding. It's an impact statement between the Oregon Health Authority, Public Health Division, and the Department of Transportation, looking at ways that we can address the health of communities through the built environment, through when we are doing large-scale projects. How do we look at the health and assess the health of community as we're developing those projects? So I think your question is a great one. It's a work in progress, but the fact that the Oregon Health Authority and the Department of Transportation are collaborating on ways that they can be addressing the health of communities, all the while building infrastructure, I think is a great success.
Tammy Bainey chairs the Oregon Transportation Commission and co-chaired the recent Governor's Transportation Vision Panel, which recently put out its report. Mike in Medford writes, it's hard not to get frustrated with the state when Portland gets a multi-million dollar multimodal pedestrian bridge. He's talking about Tillicum Crossing. Southern Oregon doesn't have one protected bike lane and just passed a levy to save our tiny bus system. The funding may come locally for Portland, but it's leaving the rest of the state in disarray, leaving Portland an island of great transportation none of us get to experience. I suspect a few drivers in Portland might argue about the island of great transportation, but go ahead, Tammy, response.
They usually sit on the island and stare at the vehicle in front of them that's not moving. So, and again, what's being raised is the fact that we need to invest in our system. And the reason why the document is called One Oregon is because our communities need to have those options. If we truly want to make improvements in our greenhouse gas emissions and our footprint, if we truly want to help people have prosperity, we need to be developing a system that gets them out of their vehicle, that gets people to the bike lanes. A lot of folks in the document as well, you will see that we've increased the biking and walking across the state of Oregon, but a lot of people are choosing not to use those systems because they don't feel comfortable. I would not want to bike right next to a vehicle that's going 55, 60 miles an hour. So how do we look at our decisions and make sure that we are making appropriate investments when we can and making investments? Well, the perfect example, our parkway in Bend, It has concrete barriers, a bike lane, and people go 60 miles an hour. There isn't even a place for an emergency vehicle to pull over. That should not have had to happen, but we were mandated to put 1.5% of that type of improvement onto that system. So how do we rethink those decisions? Would that 1.5% on that particular project been better spent off-system, developing that in a way that adds confidence and adds improvements to quality of life for those that are here?
So you're saying the bike lanes were required?
Exactly.
Okay.
So how do we make sure that those... And a lot of what we respond to as the Transportation Commission and as the Department of Transportation is legislatively driven, whether that's federal, state. So we're responding to some of those things that have been mandated essentially to us. But where we have a chance to make a decision, I think you'll find in the One Oregon document that we need to be looking at ways to reduce gaps in our transit system. We need to be maximizing our, right now we're leaving federal funds on the table.
I noticed that. Why? What's the reason for that?
Because it's difficult to come up with the match.
Ah.
The Rogue Valley just went through and fortunately was supported by their local community, which is great success. That funding often doesn't bring about enough to be able to bring in all the federal funds that could be leveraged and matched.
Okay, so that's what happened with RVT. You got the federal grant, I noticed, to put night and weekend bus service on, and the grant lapsed and voters didn't support it, and so it went away. Now it's going to come back with voter support. So lots of moving parts in the Oregon transportation system, no pun intended. Tammy Bainey is the co-chair of the Transportation Commission and is the chair of the Transportation Commission and co-chaired the Governor's Transportation Vision panel with Greg Kander. Tammy, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for your interest. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Take care.